Married folks, do we have in this audience married folks? May I see your hand, please? Very good. Very good. How many of you do not know? Okay. Got a few I don't know, huh? Do we have any perfect marriages among us? If you have a perfect marriage, would you stand up? There's a liar in every crowd. Did you notice his wife did not stand, huh? I heard about only half perfect, huh? Okay, you're standing on behalf of your wife, okay. I heard about a guy that had a perfect marriage until he got back from his honeymoon. You know, life can begin to happen after the honeymoon, right? And one day his new bride did something that he did not like, and he said to his new bride, "That was dumb." You ever heard that, ladies?
No.
Well, he said that was dumb with a capital D. How could anybody so beautiful be so dumb? She said, "God made me that way." He said, "What?" She said, "God made me that way." She said, "God made me beautiful so you would be interested in me. God made me dumb so I would be interested in you." Well, I'll be honest with you, folks. I've been married for 37 years. And my wife, she's close, but she's not a perfect wife. And I'm certainly not a perfect husband. And in 37 years of marriage, Sandra and I have had our share of fusses and fights. You have a fuss and fight at home? That you had like this. Okay. I mean, if you walked up to me tonight and you said, "Now, Brother Keith, I am married to the most wonderful woman of the world. She's a great cook. She's a neat housekeeper. She's a terrific lover. We've been married for 30 years, and in 30 years, we've never had a single fight." I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, "Brother, I love you, but you need to repent. Liars won't make it." See, married couples do fuss and fight, and these fusses and fights come in all shapes and sizes and colors and forms. Sometimes it's name calling. You're a slob. You're lazy. You're jealous. Name calling. Sometimes it's a shouting match. "I told you once, and I do not want to tell you again. Don't you raise your voice at me." A shouting match. Sometimes it's a pouting display. You don't fuss and fight verbally. You don't fuss and fight vocally. You just kind of clam up. Sometimes it's a boxing match. I'm going to knock down, drag out, fight. Married couples do that, and sometimes these fusses and fights lead to what we commonly call divorce. Back in 1974 and 1975, when I was a kid preacher, just started preaching. At the time, if I preached on the home and the family, I would get up and I would say something like, "You know, ladies and gentlemen, one out of every four marriages ends in divorce. 25% of all marriages die." That was 1974, 1975. Well, I went on to college, graduated in 1979, moved to Missouri, started preaching for a small church in Missouri. And at the time, if I preached on the home, I would get up and I would say something like, "You know, one out of every three marriages ends in divorce. 33% of all marriages die." That was the early 1980s, 81, 82, 83. Here it is, 30 plus years later. And those who study this tell us that out of every 100 marriages, about 50 of them end in divorce. About 50% of all marriages die. Let me tell you what that means in a very practical sense. If you have this many kiddos, four, in all likelihood, two of them will end up getting a divorce. If you have two children, in all likelihood, one of them will end up splitting, getting a divorce. And yet, God said, "I hate it." He did say that, didn't he? Malachi chapter 3, or chapter 2, verse 16, God says, "I hate putting away, I hate divorce." Now realize, in an audience of this size, great Monday night crowd, some of you have been there. You've gone through the awful agony of divorce. And folks, I don't have to get up here and scream at you. You know how badly it hurts. You know how painful it is. And I've had divorced people say to me, "Keith, it is worse than losing a mate to death." And because God loves you and He doesn't want you to be in pain, He doesn't want you to be in misery, God says, "I want you to know, I hate putting away, I hate divorce. In fact, do you realize that God Himself has been divorced? You say, Keith, are you serious? I am serious. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. God said, I gave Israel a writing of divorcement. His Old Testament people were connected to Him, but they were unfaithful to Him. And God said, I sent Israel away. I gave her a writing of divorcement. Maybe that's why God hates divorce, because we worship a divorced God. He had to divorce His Old Testament people. So we ought to be very careful about what we say about the divorced, because God Himself has been through a divorce, a spiritual divorce with His Old Testament people. And see, because God loves you, and He doesn't want you to be in pain, He doesn't want you to be in misery, God says, I want you to know, you can have a happy home. You can have a marvelous marriage. You can have a fantastic family. You say, Brother Keith, I have a good home, but my home could be better. How could it be better? You say, I have a good marriage, but my marriage could be stronger. How could it be stronger? Well, what I want to do tonight, I want to share with you some bricks that will build a happy home. A few years ago, my wife and I built a brand new house. It took a lot of bricks to build that house. And you know what's true with building a house is also true with building a home. It takes a lot of bricks to build a happy home. So tonight, I want to share with you some bricks that will build a happy home, a marvelous marriage, and a fantastic family. You ready for brick number one? Brick number one is this one. It's the brick of concern. Concern. And by concern, I simply mean you need to spend some time thinking about it, talking about it, praying about it. You've got to be focused in on it. You've got to be really concerned about your family, your marriage, and your home. You know, we're concerned about a number of things. We're concerned about the cars that we drive. So what do? We wash them. We wax them. Maybe you're concerned about your house, so you clean it. You paint it. Spent the night last night with the Lees. They have a beautiful place. God has blessed them with a beautiful place. I suspect that Terry spent some time cleaning that place before she had the visiting preacher over. So we clean our houses because we're concerned about those houses. Maybe you're concerned about your body. So what do? You jog and you exercise and you go on a diet. I am curious, is there anybody in this audience who's on a diet? Anybody on a diet? One person, two people. Two people in an audience of this size. How many of you need to be on a diet? Yeah, buddy. Get those hands up. I heard about a woman that was on a diet, a rather huge lady. Every morning she would get up and step on the scales to weigh. And as she stepped on the scales to weigh, she would pick up her pet cat, her tomcat. And she would hold her tomcat in her hands as she weighed. And if she looked down and noticed that she had gained a pound, she would starve the cat. That's my kind of diet, you know. I like that diet. Well, we go on diets because we're concerned about our bodies. And you know what's true with our bodies and our cars and our houses is also true with our homes and our families and our marriages. Folks, happy homes don't just happen. Marvelous marriages don't just happen. You've got to be focused in on them, talking about them, praying about them. I tell people all across America, hey, if you can only save one thing, save your soul. We have some people in this audience, you need to be saved. I beg you, don't leave tonight lost. Don't leave tonight lost. It starts with faith. You've got to have faith in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, except you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. John 8:24. You've got to change your life. You've got to submit, surrender. Start loving what you used to hate. Start hating what you used to love. Luke 13:3-5. Jesus said, I tell you, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You've got to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. What does that mean? John 3. What does that mean? Mark 16:16. Jesus said, anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Some of you need to be saved tonight. I beg you to save your soul. You say, Keith, I've already done that. I've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We have some baptized believers who just need to come and be prayed for. So I beg you, please save your soul. But if you can save your soul and something else, save your home, save your family, save your marriage. Think about it. What's more important than the home? What's more important than your marriage? What's more important than your family? But to save your family, you've got to be thinking about it, talking about it, praying about it. Concern. Concern. And that's brick number one. You ready for number two?
Brick number two is this one. It's the brick of charity. Charity. And by charity, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And now by faith, hope, charity, these three, and the greatest of these is, and we call this what? Love, right? Charity. You know, just about every time you read about marriage, not every time, but quite often, a lot of times you read about marriage in the Bible, you read about the thing called love. And let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5. In Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5, the Old Testament says, if a man has recently married, anybody in this audience tonight who recently got married, let's say you've been married less than a year, anybody less than a year? Anybody less than 5 years? You kidding me? Okay, we've got a few back here, a couple back here, less than 5 years. If a man has recently married, he shall not go out to war. Don't go to the Middle East. Don't go to Israel tonight. Don't go to Iran or Iraq. He shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any other business. Don't get sidetracked with a business, with another duty. But he shall stay at home 1 year. Stay at home 1 year. And I like my mother's Bible, the old King James. The wise man, the law says he shall stay at home 1 year, and he shall cheer up his wife. Don't go to war. Don't get sidetracked with a business, but stay at home 1 year, and he shall cheer up his wife. See, that's what love is all about. Love is bringing cheer to somebody. Fellas, to the men of this audience, men, you married guys, your primary responsibility as a husband is to cheer up your wife. And I can tell by just looking, we have some women in this audience who need to be cheered up. But that's what love is all about, bringing cheer, happiness to somebody. I think about what Proverbs says in Proverbs 15 and verse 17. Proverbs 15 and verse 17, better is a dinner of vegetables where there is, here's the word, love, than a stalled ox, a fattened calf with hatred. What does that mean? Let me put that to you in cornbread language, okay? It would be better to sit down to turnip greens and spinach. And yuck, I don't even like turnip greens and spinach. But it would be better to sit down to turnip greens and spinach and have love, be smiling and laughing and talking, holding hands, looking at each other in the eyes, than to sit down to a big old juicy T-bone steak and be fussing and fighting. It'd be better to sit down to a bowl of tomato soup and have love than to sit down to a big old juicy prime rib dinner and be fussing and fatty. Better is a dinner of vegetables where there is love than a stalled ox, a fattened calf with hatred. You say, Brother Keith, that's Old Testament. We're not Old Testament people. We're New Testament people. Give me some New Testament. Let me give you some New Testament. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, Paul said, you older women, we have some older women here tonight. You older women, you teach these young women. We have some young women here tonight. You older women, you teach these young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, ladies, notice who comes first in the text. Paul said, you older women, you teach these young women to love their, who comes first? The husband first, then to love their kiddos. Ladies, the greatest gift you can give your children, with the exception of getting them to heaven, is to love their daddy. Love their daddy. And men, to you men, the greatest gift you can give your kids, with the exception of getting them to heaven, is to love their mother. See, our children need to grow up in a home where mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama. And the kids know that, and they feel secure. Dad loves mom, and mom loves dad. That's the kind of home we need to have our kids in. I think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. Usually when we go to Ephesians chapter 5 to talk about the home, we start in verse 22 about the wives submit. Wives submit. Have you read verse 21 lately? Ephesians 5, verse 21, Paul said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit to one another out of respect for Christ. Let me be honest with you, folks. In our home, in our marriage, sometimes I'm the coach. I'm the coach, and my wife, Sandra, is the quarterback. Okay? She's the quarterback and I'm the coach. Sometimes there are times she's the coach and I'm the quarterback. But see, marriage is a give and take relationship. You give a little bit, you take a little bit, you surrender here, you surrender there. Paul said, you submit to one another. And then Paul says, wives, ladies, here's the way you can show your charity, your love in the home. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Here's the reason. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Let me ask the ladies of this audience. Ladies, ladies, who's in charge of this church? The Waverly Church, who's in charge? Brother Jeff's in charge, right? Brother Ray's in charge. The elders are in charge. Oh, no, his name's on the sign. Have you noticed your sign? It's the church of Christ. And just like this church surrenders, submits to Jesus, ladies, ladies, the way you can show your love in the home, you surrender, you submit to your husband. Submit to your husband. And we men are thinking, boy, this is good stuff. Straighten these women out. Preach it to them, Paul. Preach it to them, Paul. Preach it to them, Paul. And Paul says, now, wait a minute, guys. Guys, I have a message for you too. Husbands, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Men, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Let me just pause right here to ask the men of this audience. Men, men, did Christ love the church? Do you head like this? Died for the church, didn't he? Bled for the church. You know, I've heard people say, the church is not that important. You ever heard that? You know, what's really important is Jesus. And, you know, the church, well, one church is as good as another. The church really doesn't matter. The church doesn't matter. The church is not important. Are you serious? Let me ask you, is the blood of Jesus important? The death of Christ? You say the death of Christ, the blood of Jesus? Why? Keith, nothing more important than the blood of Jesus, and you're right. But folks, if the blood of Jesus is important, then that for which Jesus shed his blood is important. The death of Christ is valuable, and that for which Jesus died is so valuable. Don't minimize the church. Don't criticize the church. You need to love the local church and brag on the church. Lift the church. Love the church. Jesus said, husbands, you love your wife just like Jesus loved the church. And I read that and I think, wow, Jesus died for the church. Keith, you love Sandra just like Jesus loved his people. He goes on to say, Ephesians 5, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Everybody look up here, okay? Do you see this body? This 6'3", 200-pound body? I love this body. I love this body. I feed this body. I clothe this body. I exercise this body. And Paul said, now, Keith, just like you love your body yourself, you take care of your body, you take care of your wife. He goes on to say in Ephesians 6, children, boys and girls, listen up. Here's the way you can show your love in the home. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. This is right. It's the right thing to do to obey mom and dad. Honor your father and your mother. And on, Paul goes in Ephesians chapter 5 and in chapter 6, talking about husbands loving wives, wives loving husbands, parents loving kiddos, and kiddos loving mom and dad. And I'm saying, if you want a happy home, a marvelous marriage, a fantastic family, you've got to build it with a brick of charity or the brick of love. Now, I've talked to you about love for the last 7-8 minutes. We often talk about it, but what is it? What is love? We preach about it. We sing about it. Love, 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 love. The gospel in a... But what is love? What is it? I can imagine some of these young people saying, love, man, I could write a book on love. I know what love is. Love is when he walks me to the door and kisses me goodnight. Have I told you how I met my first wife, my only wife? Met her on a blind date. I met Sandra on a blind date, March the 1st, 1974. Really did. A friend of ours got us together. I was 17, she was 15. Can you imagine, 15 years old? I was 17. A friend by the name of Ronnie got us together. She went to church with Ronnie. I went to school with Ronnie. Ronnie and us both. Ronnie got us together, went out on a blind date. And after the date was over, guess what? I wanted to walk her to the door and kiss her goodnight. Can you believe that, a preacher on the first date? She was an elder's daughter, too. You watch those elder's daughters, okay? I didn't know what to do. I just came out and I asked her. I said, Sandra, may I kiss you goodnight? And she just stood there. No response. Scared me to death. I stood up straight and cleared my throat, and I asked again the second time, Sandra, a little bit louder, may I kiss you goodnight? Kind of like deer in the headlights. No response, just staring. So I cleared my throat, stood up straight, and asked the third time, a little bit louder, Sandra, may I kiss you goodnight? Still no response. I said, girl, are you deaf? She said, no, boy, are you paralyzed? So I marched over there and I gave her a big old kiss. She pushed me back and she said, where'd you learn how to kiss like that? I said, siphling gas from my daddy's tractor. You believe that story? You don't believe that story, do you? Only part of that story is true. Just part of it is true. We did meet on a blind date. It was March the 1st, 1974. A friend of ours did get together. And yes, believe it or not, I do confess to you, I did kiss her on that first date. Guys, you watch kissing on the first date. Don't you ever do that. It might lead to 3 kids and 37 years of marriage. Don't you ever do that. But I can imagine some of these young people saying, oh, that's love. Love is when he walks me to the door and kisses me goodnight. It's just a good feeling. And I've heard people say something like, yeah, man, love is a feeling. It's just warm. Ooh, it's just gooey. And I've heard people say something like, you know, love is a feeling that you feel like you're feeling when you feel a feeling that you never felt before. And I say, what'd you say? Somebody says, yeah, man, I'm in love. Love is just a good feeling. I can just reach out and touch her and I get goosebumps. I can just hold her hand and I get a chill running up and down my spine. Maybe she's cold. Somebody says, no, man, I'm in love. Love is a good feeling. Love is a feeling that you feel like you're feeling when you feel a feeling that you never felt before. And I say, have you ever backed up to an electric fence? If you back up to an electric fence, you're going to feel a feeling that you never felt before. But that's not love, is it? Not according to the book, 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said that love is patient and love is kind and love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not puffed up. And on he goes saying that love is serving and love is doing and love is giving. Love is saying, hey, you first, me second. Love is an action. And I'm saying, folks, if you want a happy home, build that home with charity. You ready for number three? Brick number three is this one, the brick of compliments. Compliments. And by compliments, I simply mean you need to spend more time bragging on home folks and less time criticizing home people. You like to be bragged on? How many of you really enjoy being bragged on? Ladies, how would you feel if some of these men walked up and said, I like your hair. Your hair is pretty. You look nice tonight. Ladies, would you like that? Pretty dress. Would you like that, ladies? These ladies are not responding. You're sitting there thinking, I ain't going to raise my hand. Tell me I'm ugly. Tell me I'm ugly. No, you don't want to be told you're ugly. You like to be bragged on, don't you? Do you realize it takes 7 compliments to offset 1 negative criticism? Think about it. 7 positives to offset 1 criticism. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I march back to the back. I start shaking you out after the church service. And maybe 4 or 5 of you walk out and say, thank you for the lesson. That's going to be a blessing in my life. Boy, that was good. Appreciate the sermon. And let's say somebody marches out and says, ha, waste of time. Sorriest sermon I've ever heard. You know what I'm going to do, folks? I'm going to go home tonight thinking about this sorry sermon I've just preached. Because it takes about 7 compliments to offset 1 criticism. You say, church, Keith, this is a church. It's Monday night, and I've got my Bible. Give me some Bible. You want some Bible? Let me give you some Bible. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, that's Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. What does that mean? Don't cuss. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't tell dirty jokes, smutty stories. Don't belittle. Don't criticize folks. Don't gossip. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But, first of all, in Ephesians 4:29, he tells us what not to do. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But, let me tell you what you ought to do. That which is good to the use of edifying. What does that mean? Build each other up. Brag on one another. Compliment each other. Say to that husband, oh, you're my superstar. You're my hero. Say to that wife, oh, honey, you've never looked better in your life. Say to those kids, we love you. We're proud of you. A kiddo, say to mom and dad, thank you. We love you. You know what's amazing to me? Folks, it's amazing to me. We do a better job bragging on strangers than we do bragging on home folks. We do a better job bragging on people we don't know than we do bragging on people we live with. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. We go out to eat. Where was the place we ate today, Jeff? We go to Jen's Steakhouse, seafood, whatever it was. We go to Jen's, we sit down, and here comes this waitress. She's a stranger. We've never seen her. She comes bouncing out there, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this waitress has long, flowing, beautiful black hair under each arm. I mean, she's a sight, you know. And she comes bouncing out there, and she says, may I take your order? And you order. And she brings you the food. What do you say? At least you say thank you, right? To the waitress, thank you. Maybe she checks back. How is it? Oh, this is good. Very good. Thank you, ma'am. Very good. Enjoying it. And then maybe after you get through, what do? You reach into your pocket and you pull out that dollar compliment, right? That $2 compliment. That $5 compliment, right? You tip the waitress, right? And then maybe you go home to the wife that you've lived with for 30, 40, 50 years, and maybe she fixes that favorite meal. Maybe it's roast beef, or maybe it's fried chicken, or maybe it's hamburgers. And what do we say, fellas? Fellas, what do we say to the wife? Pass the salt. Or what about this one? Ladies, have you ever heard this one? Honey, where did you get the meat? You ever been asked that? You know, you've worked for 2 or 3 hours on that favorite meal that he enjoys, and maybe he takes a big old bite of it, and the first thing out of his mouth, he says, honey, he raises his eyes and he looks and he says, honey, where did you get the meat? And you're thinking, he doesn't like it. So you ask, well, honey, sweetheart, what's wrong with the meat? Well, I'm not saying something's wrong with it, but I'm just asking, where did you get the meat? Well, if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. I'm not saying it all. And on we go, fussing and fighting and griping and grunting. And I'm telling you, folks, your home can be better. It really can be better. But you've got to build it with positives, with compliments. Spend more time bragging on home folks and very little time shooting, criticizing home folks. You ready for number four? Brick number four is this one. It's the brick called courtship. Courtship. Now, even if you're not married, we have a number of unmarried people here tonight. Maybe you live with your mom. Maybe you live with grandma. Even if you're not married, these first three would apply to you. Concern, charity, and compliments. But on this one, courtship, I'm especially talking to those of you who raised your hands a few minutes ago. I'm talking to the married folks. Courtship. By courtship, I simply mean whatever brought you together will keep you together. What brought you together, huh? Do you remember? What brought you together as husband and wife? Been a long time for some of you, right? I can tell. You're just kind of looking. I don't know. What brought you together? What brought you together? I like to know my audiences. How many of you have been married 50 years or longer? 50 years or longer, right? You've been married 50 years or longer? 60 in September. That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, we have a number of folks who've been married over 50 years, right? Do you remember? I mean, it's been a long time. What brought you together? I heard about a guy who'd been married for many, many years, 50 plus years. Lights were out. They were in bed. The wife scooted over to the husband and said, sweetheart, why don't you lean over on my side of the bed and nibble on my ear like you used to? He said, what'd you say? It woke him up. What'd you say? She said, don't you remember what we used to do? Why don't you come over on my side of the bed and nibble on my ear like you used to? He thought about it and said, honey, I don't want to. She said, oh, come on, come on. Don't you remember when the fires were burning? Scoot over on my side of the bed and nibble on my ear like you used to. He said, okay, okay. Hand me my teeth off the nightstand. I'll nibble on your ear. It's been a long time for some of us, right? But what brought you together, folks? The cards. Do you remember the cards, the letters, the phone calls? Do you remember when the fires were blazing? The roses, the dates. Hey, I tell you what, before this week is over, now you're going to be here through Wednesday night, right? The revival goes through Wednesday night. But sometime this week, let me encourage you married folks, do something special for one another. Fellas, stop by Dollar General and buy her a little card, a romantic card for 50 cents. Write a little note in there, thinking of you, praying for you, I love you. Could you do that, fellas? Stop by Walmart, Dollar General, buy her a little card. Pick up a rose or two. It doesn't have to be a dozen, just a rose or two. Hey, take her out to eat Friday night. Come to the meals through Wednesday, maybe Friday night. Take her to her favorite restaurant. Hey, ladies, I've got an idea. Buy him a candy bar. Stop somewhere and just on the way home from work and buy your hubby a candy bar. Or Hershey's chocolate candy bar. Wouldn't that be nice, fellas? A little candy bar. Hey, call him up and say, I'm just thinking about you. Just a phone call. Wouldn't that be nice, fellas? A phone call saying, from your wife, I love you. I'm just thinking about you. Hey, fellas, I've got an idea. Sometime this week, maybe the weekend, bring her to Nashville. Bring your wife to Nashville. Bring her to the Grand Ole Opry, okay? Take her on a little romantic getaway. I tell you what, stop in Nashville for a night, then take her to Gatlinburg. Wouldn't that be nice, ladies? A little trip to Gatlinburg. A letter shop. Take her to Gatlinburg, give her some money, let her shop until she drops. Let her buy some of those good old Smoky Mountain souvenirs made in Hong Kong, okay? I mean, just do something nice for one another. And I promise it'll be a blessing to your life. Courtship, whatever brought you together, will keep you together. You ready for number five? Brick number five is this one. It's the brick called communication. Communication. 86% of all troubled marriages, troubled homes, bad communication, lack of communication. So what I want to do quickly, briefly, I want to take you to the greatest book in the world on communication. And I want to share with you some principles, biblical principles, for better communication in the home. I want to encourage you to write the principle. Write it down in your Bible. Circle the verse. We'll move right through these quickly, okay? Don't have time to dwell on them, but I just want to mention to you the principle, share with the Bible verse, and then we'll move right through. If you've got a Bible, go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. That's principle number one. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. The wise man said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, do not lean upon your own understanding. Here's principle number one. Put it down somewhere. You want better communication in the home? Number one, communicate to God. Trust in the Lord. Families that pray together, what? That's true, isn't it? It's not a little trite statement, it's a true statement. It's kind of like a triangle. Here's the husband, here's the wife, God up here. The closer the husband and wife are getting to God, guess what? The closer they're getting to one another. You want better communication in the home? Communicate to God as a family. Pray together. Read God's word together. Communicate to God. That's number one. You ready for number two? Look over to chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. 18 and 19. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind, pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and be ravished always with her love. Here's principle number two. Say, I love you physically. If you're married, say, I love you sexually. Folks, psychologists say that we've got to get in our hugs, our touches. It takes 4 hugs every day for survival, just to survive. It takes 8 hugs every day for maintenance. It takes 12 hugs every day for growth. Are you growing in your relationships at home? You've got to get in those touches, those pats, those hugs. So say I love you physically with a touch, with a hug. If you're married, say I love you sexually. That's number 2. You ready for number 3? Go to chapter 10, Proverbs 10, verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 10. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What does that mean? There's going to be sin if there are many words. But he that refrains his lips is wise. Here's principle number 3. Learn to be quiet. Learn to zip it up. Because if you talk, chat, yak, there's going to be sin. In the multitude of words, there's going to be sin. But he that refrains his lips is wise. Sometimes the best response, the best answer, is a no answer. It's silence. So learn to zip it up. Learn to be quiet. That's number 3. You ready for number 4? Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 15. A soft, gentle answer turns away anger. But harsh words, grievous words, stir up anger. Here's principle number 4. Watch what you say, and especially how you say it. Your tones, your body language, your facial expressions. Watch what you say, and especially how you say it. Because harsh words, grievous words, stir up anger, but gentle words turn away anger. You ready for number 5? Chapter 15, verse 28. Same chapter, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You say, Brother Keith, I want to be wise, okay? You need to study your answer. Here's principle number 5. Think before you speak. Study your answers. That's what the wise man does. And just think with me, folks, about the word think. T-H-I-N-K. Let the T stand for true. H for helpful. I for important. N for necessary. K for kind. Before saying anything at all, just study. Think. Meditate. Is it true? Is it helpful? What I'm about to say, is it important? What I'm about to say, is it necessary? What I'm about to say, is it kind? Think before you speak. That's number 5. You ready for number 6? Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Chapter 18 and verse 13. The wise man said, he that answers before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame. Here's principle number 6. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. God gave us this many ears. God gave us this many tongues. Why one tongue and 2 ears? Maybe he wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. So, don't answer. Don't jump in there and answer before you listen. You need to listen, listen carefully. For the last principle is Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes his sins shall have mercy. Here's principle number 7. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Learn to say, hey, forgive me. It was my fault. In other words, if you mess up, fess up. 7 great principles for better communication in the home. What are they? Number 1, communicate to God. Number 2, say I love you with a touch, with a pat, with a hug. Physically, if you're married, say I love you sexually. Number 3, learn to zip it up. Number 4, watch what you say, especially how you say it. Number 5, think before you speak. Number 6, listen and listen carefully. And then number 7, learn to say, I'm sorry. Now you've listened well, it's almost time to sing. But folks, we can't stop there. We don't want to stop there because we haven't gotten to the very best brick. And the very best brick is the last one. And the last one is this one. You want a happy home? Marvelous marriage? Fantastic family? You've got to build it with Christ. I want you to meet somebody. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Matthew 18, 20, that's what Jesus said. Hey, Jesus, come in. Tell us who you are. I am the living bread. John 6, 51. I am the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. I am from above, John 8, 23. Before Abraham was, I am, John 8, 58. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10. I am the resurrection of the life, John 11 and verse 25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and verse 6. I am the true vine, John 15 and verse 1. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, you know, my, we're just having trouble at home. We're on the verge of divorce. Maybe your daughter's gotten pregnant outside of marriage. Maybe your son is on drugs and alcohol, and you're thinking, man, we're so bothered. We're so disturbed. We need answers. And Jesus steps out from the pages of this book, and Jesus says, hey, I am. I'm the answer. So I ask this question. Does Jesus live in your home? Do you live in a home where the Bible is read and prayers are prayed? Where Jesus is exalted? Do you talk about Jesus over the family meal? Does Jesus really live in your home? I heard about a lady. She was working around the house, and all of a sudden, there was a knock at the door. She went to the door, and she saw a man standing there with a Bible in his hand. And the man just asked one question. He said, ma'am, does Jesus live here? The woman that I'm talking about was a Christian, a member of the church, but she was so surprised by that unexpected guest at the door, she didn't know what to say. And all day long, she thought about that question. Does Jesus live here? When her husband came in that afternoon, she shared the story with him. She said, honey, you'll never believe what happened today. I was working around the house, and all of a sudden, I heard a knock at the door. I went to the door, and I saw a man standing there with a Bible in his hand, and he asked me one question. He said, we're just doing a little survey in the community, and we want to know, ma'am, does Jesus live in your home? And she said to her husband, also a member of the church, I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't know what to say. Her husband, a little bit put off, said, you didn't know what to say? What do you mean you didn't know what to say? Why didn't you tell him yes? Why didn't you tell him we go to church three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why didn't you tell him we drop a little money in the plate on Sunday? What do you mean you didn't know what to tell him? Why didn't you get the church directory and show him our names and our pictures? What do you mean you didn't know what to say? She said, all that's true. We go to church every time the door's open. And yeah, we drop a little money in the plate on Sunday. And yeah, we have names and pictures in the directory. But honey, the guy at the door, the stranger at the door, did not ask those questions. He asked me, does Jesus live in your home? And to be honest, I've been wondering all day if he does. So I close tonight by asking you this question. Does Jesus live in your home? Is he the King of Kings of your home, of your marriage? Tell you what needs to happen tonight. Listen to me carefully, okay? We have some people who need to be buried with Christ in baptism. Maybe mom's a Christian, dad's a Christian, but you're not. Your home is not completely Christian because you're not. Maybe your wife's a Christian. Husband, you're not. You've been thinking about it. You've been talking about it. You've been saying, one day I will. You need to become a Christian. Maybe all of you are baptized believers, but you need to step up to the plate and let Jesus really be the Lord of your home. Men, we're calling on the men tonight to be the spiritual leaders. I don't know, ladies, it may take you to respond. I tell you, when I offer invitations all across the country, you know who are the ones who are walking to the front? Usually it's the women. The women are coming and saying, hey, pray for me. I need to be a better wife. I need to be a better mother. And I appreciate those women who respond. But I tell you, tonight, men, I'm calling on you to lead the way. Maybe your wife needs to respond. Why don't you lead the way? Maybe your kids need to respond. They're watching you, mom and dad. If you need to be prayed for, why don't you come? If you need to be restored, come back home to Jesus, his church, you come tonight. You need to be baptized into Christ. Don't delay. You come tonight. Ray's going to come. He's going to lead us in a great invitation song. But I beg you, don't stand and sing as if I'm okay and you're okay if you're not. Do something about your life. Come on to the front. Let's stand.